Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Now back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted this year's Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back at 34 after. Mr. Gracious, Mr. Humble here. It's good to be with you as always. It's good to have Andrea Nirenberg with us today, too, though. It's good to have her back on the show. Andrea is the president of the Nirenberg Group, which provides training in sales, customer service, presentation skills, networking, and lots of other important things to help companies put their best foot forward. She's the author of the outstanding book, Nonstop Networking, How to Improve Your Life, Luck, and Career, and she's our good friend. Andrea, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Jim. It's wonderful to be back.
It's always a pleasure to have you back on the show.
Thank you.
Andrea, one of the things I know you want to talk about today is business development.
Right.
How to grow our businesses. And where do you want to start?
Well, it's interesting because I think a lot of people, that's the big thing today. Everybody, you know, the economy and everybody's saying, how do I grow my business no matter what my business is? And I say the first thing is to take a look at your existing customers, the people who already do business with you. And what are you really doing to nurture those relationships and make sure that you're really, you know, a lot of times people, I think, I know this from other people I've spoken to, that when they have somebody buying from them, they're happy, but they then go off to look for new business all the time instead of looking inside and saying, what can I do to maximize these relationships? How much am I staying in touch with these people? Are there other areas I can even grow the business within some of my current business? And can I get referral opportunities from those satisfied customers?
I was talking, this is one of my favorite stories along the lines of what you're talking about, and I've told it many times on the show. I've never forgotten it. 15 years ago, I was visiting with the executive director of a state bank organization. He was running the state banking, their trade group for the state. And I was talking to him about doing business with him and doing some training with him and some of his members, and we were talking about the banking business, and he said I believe that if every bank out there would just make sure that they take care of everything that the customers that they already have need, if they'll just make sure they've got the financial products and services that the customers they already have need, he said, I believe they wouldn't need a new customer for 5 years.
It's amazing. I can agree with that. Because
isn't that something? I mean, and of course, this was just a conversation, but he'd done a little research, and his point was that these banks are so busy trying to get new customers that they're not really doing a very good job of taking care of the existing customers.
And I don't think it's just banks. I think it's a lot of businesses.
That's exactly
because
right.
We get so caught up in we want new, and I agree, everybody wants new, but think and look back and see, what can I do right now with my current clients? How often do I communicate with them, and how do I do that? How often do I see them? Do I even have a copy of their business plan? When I teach a business development course, I say, you know what, get to know your clients so well that they feel that you're their partner and have trust. You know, do you get involved in their associations? Have you studied their website, which also amazes me? You know, I always go on the website to see what my current clients are doing, to see what they're doing within their press room. And it's very interesting to come up with a new idea, a new suggestion for them when you have some knowledge based on what they're already doing.
You know, one of the things that I recommend, and I work with big companies sometimes to help them reach out to small businesses, and one of the things that I talk to them about is, don't focus on the small business that you want to reach. Focus right on by them on the customers that they're trying to reach.
Absolutely. I always ask my clients, what keeps you awake at night? You know, what are their problems? You know, things like that, you know, really take their problems and make them your concern so you can find solutions for them. Maybe you have a product, a service, or something, but they'll then think of you for other things all the time. It's like, how do you keep on their radar screen? I've told people to go to their, you know, have you ever gone and toured their operation or really seen? Some people say, well, I deal with them only on the phone. But think about how that might make them feel if you actually went to visit them.
You know, years ago, about three lives ago, maybe four lives ago, I worked for Xerox.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite things to do when I'd call on a company, especially if they had an operation of any size, you know, like a factory or something like that, is I'd do my best to get them to give me a tour of their operation. And
right.
I remember not only did I, because I love seeing, I love knowing how things work.
Right.
And so I enjoyed that part of it. But invariably, I would get some ideas about how to serve that customer better.
That's it.
Just by walking around. MBWA, management by walking around.
Absolutely. And also, you meet other people in the organization. And one of the things I always talk about in my networking book, too, is about how do you develop alliances throughout. So it's good to surround the account. You meet other people. You find out what some of their needs are. And some of the companies that we sell to have large departments and other departments. So you have all kinds of people around there.
Absolutely.
So the other thing I've often done is, you know,
Andrew, hold on to that thought. We're going to have to take a quick break.
Okay, I'm sorry.
We've got to develop some business of our own here. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come right back with our good friend, Andrea Nirenberg. She's the author of Nonstop Networking. And when we come back, we're going to get her to give us her website and tell us where her book is available.
Let me tell you, I got
we're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Andrea Nirenberg is our guest. She's the author of Nonstop Networking. And Andrea, tell us where your book is available and give us your website as well, please.
Okay, thanks, Jim. The book is available on either Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. And it's in a lot of bookstores, but I always tell people to go to the Internet. I know it's there. And it's also available on my website, which is www.selfmarketing.com.
Selfmarketing.com. Right. And by the way, folks, her last name is spelled with the I in front of the E, Nirenberg, N-I-E-R-E-N-B-E-R-G, all E's except for that I in front of the E. If you remember that, Andrea R, and Andrea spelled just like you think it would be. Or remember Nonstop Networking if you're typing either one of those into the search engines.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andrea. I like recommending your book because it's an outstanding one.
I like recommending yours. I love it.
I appreciate that. Let's get back into the business development thing. And you know, one of the things that you and I both know about small business owners, Andrea, is that if you look at their operating statement,
right,
you'll see not a lot of capital committed to set aside for marketing and advertising.
Absolutely.
In a typical small business. I mean, relatively speaking,
right,
if they spend any money, it's not even budgeted. It just sort of comes up on a whim. Somebody comes by and offers them a radio spot or a newspaper ad or something, and they'll run that. But there's not really all that much dedication, unfortunately, put into marketing. When the truth is a lot of small businesses can't really afford to spend a lot of money on it. But what they also aren't doing is they're actually ducking the low hanging fruit of some of the marketing activity they could have, which is just asking their current customers what they need.
Absolutely. It's marketing 101. And I think, especially in small businesses, everyone on board needs to have a marketing hat on and think about it in the way that it's like you're doing your job, but when you're with a client, ask them, what else can we be doing for you? What else is going on with you? What are some of your concerns? Almost anybody can be asking that. And being much more aware and just thinking, if I were in my customer's shoes, what would I want? You know, what would make it an ideal experience for them? And I think that you're absolutely right, because I know I have a small business, and marketing is something that, you know, you don't put money into specifically, but it's something that you do all the time. Mm-hmm. It's even when I write notes to say thank you to my clients. I call it my 37-cent investment plan, just to say thank you. How are you? Things like that. So I think you're absolutely right. And another way of showing our expertise to our clients is sometimes to offer to do a free workshop, if you will, for your client on an issue of concern to them that maybe that you're servicing their business with, or maybe a special discount, things like that, that I think that a lot of times, like you said, we're so busy thinking, you know, more and more and more, that we're not like stepping back and saying, how do I get on their radar screen all the time? Even writing an article for their publication, a lot of times your clients have publications that they, or newsletters or things that go out, and it's interesting to actually partner or actually ask your client if you can partner with them on something like that.
Mm-hmm. You know, when I used to, when I'd call on customers and in the old days when I actually sold a tangible product, I was, one of the things that was a blessing in my life is I was taught how to do this by some pretty smart people, a long, long time ago. Two different organizations taught me how to do this. And you'd go in, and if you go in and not try to sell them what you have, but try to find out what it is that they need today.
Absolutely.
And here's what would happen. It can be a little frightening at first, but if you can go in and ask them what they need, and then just talk to them about what they need, what'll happen? The reason it's frightening is because you're spending your time, and at the very beginning of this conversation, it'll sound like this isn't business for you, it's going to be business for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you have to do, though, is just keep talking to them. And what I found is that 7 out of 10 times, let's say, and it was a high percentage, very high percentage of the time, if we could keep talking long enough, eventually what they were concerned about today would wind up being some business for me.
Of course.
But the best news was that came at the end. It didn't come at the beginning. At the beginning, I did something to help them solve a concern that they had today, and then I wound up getting some business.
Absolutely, because you said the key word. You solved a problem for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because you listened and you asked questions, probing questions to get them to talk. I always say the rule of thumb is to go in and only speak 20% of the time. Let your customers speak 80% of the time. Because they'll tell you what they need, how they need it, and what you can do to help them.
But what you've done, though, is much, much more, way beyond
exactly
that sale that you just made. You just made a relationship that you almost can't ruin. I mean, if you keep the same attitude, you built this relationship, and that's business that you can't run off.
You can't. And the other thing is that this also turns that relationship into an advocate. And when they're your advocate, then they want to, you know, promote you and talk about you, and that's the best. And then perhaps tell people that they know that they can use you also. So that's the best advertising or marketing you can get. But it takes time to build those relationships, mm-hmm. which is why we need to step back and take a look. I have, like, one of my client retention goals is that I always make 3 phone calls per week with different clients just to say, hi, how are you? I keep a log and see who am I in touch with every week, what's going on, how are you, and then set up face-to-face meetings. But it's like I always stay on their radar screen.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. And then what happens, folks, is something called the quantum leap effect. And when we come back after these, we're going to take a break in just a few seconds. When we come back, I want to get Andrea to talk to us about, with us about what I call the quantum leap effect, what other people call the quantum leap effect too. And it's when all this stuff starts aggregating, and before you know it, you got plenty of business. And that's coming up right after these messages. It's 10 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back with our good friend, Andrea Nuremberg, the author of Nonstop Networking.
Then you... call, say beware doll, you're bound to fall, you thought they were all kidding you.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Andrea Nuremberg is our guest, and our good friend, and she's the author of Nonstop Networking, a book that I certainly recommend to you. It's available wherever books are sold. Check it out on any of the online stores as well as the brick-and-mortar stores. And Andrea, won't you give us your website one more time, please?
Selfmarketing.com.
What do we find when we get there?
You'll find everything I do, a picture of me. And
that's worth the trip,
folks. Lots of articles and some information about the book.
All right, check that out. Andrea, the quantum leap effect, somebody explained it to me one time, and I'm probably not going to do as good a job as they did of explaining it to me, but when you accumulate productivity, you accumulate 1 + 1 = 2.
Yes.
But then once you've been in business for a couple of years, the 2 plus the next year doesn't equal 3, it equals 4.
Right.
You actually quantum leap a number, folks, because of this. The business that you got this last year, you actually hopefully will be able to have again this year. Plus, you'll pick up the new business this year that you worked for. But then next year, in the third year, let's say, you've not only got your first and second year customers, you not only have the third year customers you're going to get new, but you're going to get some customers in that you didn't even work for because they came to you by the referrals that Andrea was talking about. And this is business that you earned a year or two ago by doing a good job for somebody, and they sent you a freebie. They just dropped a They just dropped a little serendipity on you by telling somebody what a good job you did. And that's when, let's say, in the third year, instead of that's where you grow, your business grows at a level that you did not anticipate.
Totally right. Absolutely. I always say you reap what you sow. You know, the more you throw out there and the more you're in touch with your clients and do an incredible job for them and do things for them. I even say, when's the last time did you introduce your client to a potential customer or a vendor in another area so that they could be helped?
That's something that I try to really focus on as much as I can. I have a name for it. I call it putting good people with good people.
Yes, and that's great.
And if you know somebody, you know, my clients, one of the things that they used to know was that they knew that there was a pretty good chance that I was thinking about them. And I'd be driving along, and I'd be thinking about something. I'd call them up, and I'd say, hey, have you thought about so-and-so? And they'd say no. And I'd say, okay, well, think about that, and we'll talk about it later. I'd hang up.
Right.
And it just let them know that just because I wasn't in front of them, and that wasn't billable hours either, by the way, folks. That was just me thinking about them.
That's it. I mean, I have a great dentist. And I'm always trying to refer people to him, you know, and people don't always love to go to the dentist, right? But one person that called me just the other day and said, I went to your dentist, and he's terrific. He really is wonderful. And now my whole company is going to go.
Well, and the thing is none of us have time to find good vendors, to find good service, people who do give good service, whether it be a furniture store or a dentist or a tire company, whatever. We don't have time to find good people, and so don't you think this is more true than it's ever been before that we're looking for people to trust?
Oh, it's got to be trust. That's, and as you know, in my book, that's what I talk about, networking and relationship. It's all built on trust. And I know myself, I got 3 pieces of business this past week that all came from referrals of people who I've done work with. Who I know somebody else asked them, who would you suggest?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I went knocking on the doors, as you know, it takes time to build those relationships. And the only thing, the reason they came to me quicker was because of the relationships I already have and have established.
Right, right. What are some, do you have any tips or tools that you'd like to recommend that we use to reach out to these people, to our existing customers?
Yes, one thing is, again, I go back to my old-fashioned rule of 37-cent investment plan. You know, I write handwritten notes to my clients to say thank you, how are you, here's an article I thought you'd be interested in. I do 3 a day. People say, 3 a day, Andrea, that's amazing. I say at the end of the week it's 15. At the end of the year I've connected with over 750 people to say thank you, how are you, here's a suggestion, here's a thought, I've been thinking about you. So that's one thing to do.
And, folks,
it's so simple.
And you know, Andrea,
yes.
That's the quantum leap waiting to happen.
Oh, absolutely.
That's manufacturing quantum leap right there.
Because the post office tells us that only 4% of our mail is handwritten. You know, a lot of it isn't. And the thing is, you can do so much with that because people, you know, I love email. And believe me, it's wonderful to send people. People say, can you send an email? You can do that, too. I do 3 extra emails at the end of the day and 3 extra voicemails. However, there's something about the note that people can't delete it or can't hang up on it.
And they'll rip it open, too.
That's right. They will, because it's personalized. So I think that another thing is visit your clients regularly. Have lunch with them. You know, go out to lunch. I mean, even though people say we don't have time, bring them donuts or go get Krispy Kremes or something. But
Andrea, I've got to stop you.
Sorry.
No. I'm excited about you being here. And you're going to come back in about a month,
back.
And we're going to build on this, aren't we?
Absolutely. I always enjoy your show, Jim. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Andrea. Andrea Nuremberg, ladies and gentlemen, Nonstop Networking. She'll be back. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.